This morning's reading comes from the book of Revelations, chapter 5, 1 to 14, which I'm sure is familiar to everyone by now. Then I saw at the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God's persons from every tribe and language and the people and nation. You have made them to be the kingdom and the priests to serve our God, and they will reign on all the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. Hear what God is saying to the church this morning.
Thanks, Mike. So just turn to your neighbour and have a chat about something that might have stood out to you. Tabby is just now going to share with us today, and every time Tabby shares, I'm always excited because I'm always impacted by something that you say, and you always give us really practical things that we can take away and apply to our lives. So thank you for all of the hard work that you put into your sermons, because I know that you're really impacting all of us. Let's just pray for her before she starts. Lord, thank you for the message that you have given to Tabia to share today. We pray peace upon her. We pray that you give her the words to say. And for all of us, we ask that you reveal something new about your character. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. I get to talk about worship today. That is amazing. I mean, that's very fitting because obviously I love the singing and all that. But if you're sitting here going, "Oh no, worship, it's like the one part of the service where I go, oh, why do I have to sit through this?" This sermon is still for you. I'm just saying, don't switch off because I might have something to say that is actually life-changing. That's how Jesus works, not Tabia. That's how Jesus works. I thought it'd be good to paint a picture again of what we have just read. I know we've read it many times. I was also reading the chapter before our chapter 5, and that kind of sets the scene a little bit. So let me show you what happens. We have a throne. Oh, that's right. I didn't quite know how to. Here we go. This is, let's just imagine it being majestic. And on here is God. On the throne is God. And he's not described very much, which is good because no one knows what God looks like. So on the throne sits God. And above it all is a rainbow, actually, which I didn't know. But it's cool because rainbows are beautiful. I don't know if you also love it when a rainbow comes up in the sky. It's just such a beautiful moment of promise. So there's a rainbow. And then there are more thrones. I'm just going to do circles. No, I'm going to do squares. There's 24 more thrones that are all around this throne, okay? And on these are sitting 24 elders. And out of those thrones actually come flames or fire, and there's a, or lightning, and there's a torch in front of each of them, so it's like a glorious, glorious thing. And then also around all this are four living creatures. And they are described looking as a lion and an ox, and a human face and a flying eagle, but they're just looking like it. It's not quite it. So we're just going to move past what they look like because we can't really imagine it anyway. So we have this whole crowd of people that is around this throne. And in front of the throne, actually, is a huge sea of glass. And that is there because in front of God's throne is complete peace because his presence is present. It's complete peace. There's not a ripple in that sea, because where God is, everything settles. So in the midst of all these people, really, and the excitement of the moment, there's peace in front of the throne. And all these people continually worship him on the throne, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come," which is often in the songs that we sing. So this goes on all the time. There's, you know, the throne and all these people and the beautiful scene, and they're continuously worshiping God. And then we come to the scene that we've read about. What happens is a scroll appears, and it holds the question to something very important, but I couldn't quite figure out what it was, because it's not explained. But it holds basically the answers to everything, I reckon. But nobody can open the scroll, and so John starts weeping because it's like, you just want the answers. They're not to be had because no one can open the scroll. So he starts weeping because no one is worthy. And then one of the 24 elders says, "Hang on, the Lion of Judah, he is worthy to open the scroll." And everybody goes, "Ah, the Lion of Judah." And forward steps this lamb, which is a bit of a letdown. Instead of a lion, there's a lamb. And then it's not just a lamb, it's one that looks like it has been slaughtered. So it's not just a bit more pathetic, but it's also ugly and not very pretty because, you know, blood and guts and stuff. So we heard, though, in the last 2 weeks from Craig Harris and then also from Hayden and Caleb last week, that the lamb stepping forward, the slaughtered lamb stepping forward, is actually the most beautiful thing that could have happened. Because the lamb represents freedom and restoration for everyone, protection. Something vulnerable that steps forward is approachable. And in that magnificence of the lamb, everybody recognizes that this represents Jesus. Jesus, as he really is, with everything that is attached to the lamb, to his name, he is right there in the center of this moment. And then what happens is the four living creatures, they fall down and worship. They literally fall down, throw themselves down, and they worship. And the 24 elders, they hold up their harps, they have harps, and bowls of incense, which is prayers, and they fall down and worship. And then suddenly, all these angels appear, and there's thousands and thousands of them. There's so many that you can't count them, and they all start worshiping the Lamb. And then, not just everyone that is already there, but then every creature, I don't know what other creatures are in heaven, but there are more creatures, they all join in, and then everyone on the earth joins in too, and it's this huge praise moment of worshiping Jesus for who he really is. They couldn't help themselves, they had to worship him. What a glorious moment that must have been. I know this is just a vision, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is what heaven looks like. When the Lamb steps forward, they encounter Jesus and they can't help but worship. So I reckon the worship came from the encounter with Jesus. So I thought I'd share a couple of examples of how I have encountered Jesus so that you get an idea of, yes, I have encountered Jesus too. Because sometimes we struggle a little bit. In fact, when I went around and asking a couple of people around me, when have you encountered Jesus and when has that led to worship him? Everybody looked at me like, I'm sure there were moments, but I can't remember them. So I thought, well, I'll just jog your memory a little bit. When I was 20, I lived at Lee Abbey, which is where I met Caleb and Billy. It's a Christian conference center in England. And I was on the house team, which meant I was making beds and cleaning bathrooms and vacuuming floors. To this day, I cannot look at a Henry, you know, those vacuum cleaners that are called Henry, and get a sinking feeling. Because the Henrys, they would just keep falling off the stairs and they were a real nightmare. All the cleaning. So I was on the house team, and not only did we, you know, have to clean up after everybody, but we were also one of the first ones to get up in the morning. Anybody who knows me knows that I do not enjoy getting up in the morning. Morning prayers at 7 a.m. is a nightmare. This is still the one thing I struggle with in our house the most, is that I have to get up so early every day. And I know that 7 is not early for most people. They just get up before then anyway. But I was struggling with the fact that not only did I have to clean early in the morning, but it was early in the morning. And I hit this moment where I'd had enough. I had also just recently had my heart broken by a young man who was in the community. I had language problems because I wasn't the only one who didn't speak English as their first language. And so there were other miscommunication all around. And this one morning, I literally ran away. I didn't pack my bags or whatever, you know, I wasn't that committed. But I remember storming from the laundry where everybody else was still doing their job. And I just ran. I ran out of the gate and I ran along the road and I ran down this little hill. And there was a cliff that I had usually previously sat and prayed at. And so I stopped there. I fell down and I started weeping and I was screaming and I was letting it all out. I hated it all. It was like, Jesus, what am I even doing here? This is not cool. And I sat there for quite a while, and I cried. I kept crying. And then this man appeared from behind me. He was actually the main chef at the conference center, and his house was just above that cliff, and he had seen me storming down. And he just came up behind me, and he said, here, you should have a cup of tea. So he gave me a cup of tea, and then he walked off again. He just left me there. But he brought me a cup of tea, and I was like, floored. You know? And it was Jesus who brought me a cup of tea in that moment, and I drank the tea and I calmed down, and it changed from then on. In fact, I stayed for another year and a half because I knew that Jesus saw me in my 20-year-old mess that I was in, that was an encounter with Jesus. These last holidays in the summer, I had the privilege of going back to Germany to visit my family for Christmas. And I often use the holidays to reflect on my life because I'm finally slowed down enough to actually think and listen to what is going on inside me. And I realized that I was sitting in the armchair in front of the fire with the Christmas tree in front of me, because of course it was Christmas time in Europe, so it was winter. I realized that I have this thing in my life that often ruins my day. I go through my day and everything's great. All the circumstances are fine, I'm fine, everybody else is fine, nothing bad happens, but a thought crosses my mind and from then on everything switches. Suddenly the rest of the day is colored and life sucks a little bit, even though nothing is wrong. And I finally realized what it was. It's worry. I have a worry thought and I latch onto it, and then it holds onto me so much that it colours the rest of the day. And it's rubbish. I don't want to live like that. So I was sitting there going, Jesus, what do I do? Because this is a habit I have cultivated for 30 years. How do I break a habit of 30 years when it's so evident in my everyday life? And he said to me, here, I wrote it down for you. And he reminded me of my favorite passage in scripture, which literally reads, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This passage that I have memorized so many times and have studied, I've even preached on this passage before, he was like, oh yeah, it was already in your life, here it is. This is your recipe for not worrying, pray about everything. It's basically what it says. And so since then, I have tried this new habit that whenever a worry comes into my mind, I start praying. Hayden had an example with me in the car this morning. We were worrying about something, and I said, Hayden, can I just pray? And he said, sure. So I prayed about the thing we were worried about because I needed to put my habit into practice so that the new habit overrides the old habit. And so through scripture, Jesus just spoke. I had an encounter with Jesus through his word. I don't know if you remember this service last year on Good Friday. We had some epic prayer stations all around this church. One of them was up at the cross up there. And it said something about sitting with Jesus in his grief or the suffering, feeling his suffering or something. Anyway, I went up there and I started crying and I couldn't stop. And for the whole prayer station time, I just sat at that one prayer station. All the other ones were really great, and I didn't even get to see them because I got stuck there. But I just kept crying, and I realized that I didn't even know what was going on with all my sadness, but it had to come out. You know how sadness sometimes does. And this was an opportunity where Jesus went, here, I see you, and I have been sad like this before. You're okay here with me. And so I sat and cried, and after that I went away lighter because I knew I'd encountered the living Jesus once again. So those were just three examples of where I recently have met with Jesus in a deep way. And the theme of them, I realized, is a little bit that I was at a low point in all three of those. Like, I was emotional and, not quite happy in myself or whatever, is when I met with Jesus. And I do think that he uses that, because when we're at a low point, our guard is down a little bit, and our hearts are more open, and we're not trying to control something, but instead we let him in. But this is not the only time when we encounter Jesus. I've also had moments in the church service where we were worshiping and I saw him before me, or I realized he was doing some healing, even though didn't know I needed any healing. So I'm not saying you have to be at a low point to encounter Jesus, but it does also happen when we're at a low point that we encounter Jesus. And I actually think that we are made and created to meet with Jesus all the time and to live our lives having encounters with him on a daily basis, maybe even an hourly one. That is why God created us. That is why he put us on this earth. It's because he wanted to live in relationship with us. So how do we get there? You might sit there and go, I don't think I've had an encounter like this before. I know about Jesus encountering people, but that's not me. Or I might have done in my 20s, but not in the last 10 years. Or how do I do this? You know, how do I get to a place where I do encounter Jesus on a daily basis? Or even a weekly one, that would be a great start. I don't know where you're sitting. So I've been thinking about, how do we get there? How do we create a moment as much as we can, because I think most of this is also grace, you know, Jesus gracing us with his presence and an encounter with him. But how do we see the Lamb as it really is, Jesus as he really is, and have that deep encounter that makes us want to worship? The key to that is to open our hearts, to literally have the thought in us that goes, I want to encounter Jesus. Because he is very, people have described to me before that the Holy Spirit is like a gentleman. If you don't say, come in, he's just going to wait outside. I think it works a bit like this. Jesus works a bit like this. If we don't want him to encounter us, or if we don't, if we're not intentional about it, then he goes, that's fine. Like, I'm not pushing myself on you, because real love doesn't just push, you know, himself on anyone. Real love waits. But if we say, I want to meet with you, then he will meet with us. There's this verse in Jeremiah 29 that says, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. If you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I think God is waiting for us to honestly want to seek him, and then he will reveal himself to us. It is even worth saying that out loud or in your head, but in a moment of prayer saying, Jesus, would you encounter me? I want to meet with you. And then wait what happens. Because then we can actually encounter him anywhere doing anything. So my three examples. One, I encountered Jesus through another person. One, I encountered Jesus in my emotions, in my sadness. And one, I encountered Jesus through the scripture. But there's also nature. People often encounter Jesus in nature, or there's times of silence where we slow down enough to hear his voice. There's coming to a Sunday service. What a great opportunity to meet with Jesus in a room full of other people who want to meet with Jesus. Anywhere, any place, Jesus wants to reveal himself to us. But we need to open our hearts and we need to say, I want to meet with you, Jesus. And it is also about wanting to meet him and not just an idea of him. I'm not quite sure how to describe the difference, but it's like I want to be able to... Oh, no, I need to not just not go there. Okay, so we... if we meet with him, then reading the scripture is a place where he can actually meet with him. Whereas if we just, if we're a bit cautious and we'd rather just think about him or talk about him rather than actually meeting with him, then scripture is just a good text. Or nature is just beautiful creation, but not a place where we can actually meet with him. Or other people are just other people. Or a Sunday service is just a Sunday service. Whereas if we come with a heart that expects to meet with him and wants to meet with him, then those places can be transformed to being filled with Jesus. And so in our text today, in Revelation 5, what happened was, the Lamb steps into the midst of the crowd and they see him, see Jesus for who he really is, and then they can't help but worship. They literally fall down and they start singing. And that is, I think that is what happens to us too. When we meet with Jesus and have a deep encounter with him, we can't help but worship him. Now, worship comes out as giving thanks. Worship comes out as quoting scripture or saying, God, you are so good. But I think the main thing is actually we start singing. And some people tell me, you know, they can't sing or they don't like to sing. That is okay. Except I think that we're all called to sing. And so if you're like, I don't want to sing in church because people can hear me, then sing in your car or sing in your backyard, or go into the woods, sing on the beach. I often sing on the beach because nobody can hear me and it doesn't matter what it sounds like. I can scream, you know, like waves are really loud, beautiful place to sing, and often a place where God is just very present for me. I'm basically saying you got to sing, because that is what these people did. This is or do. I'm still not quite sure whether this was just a vision that happened, or whether this is happening right now, or whether this will happen in the future. Whatever it is, this is the example we're invited to live by, is to fall down and worship Him. Because worship actually means giving honor and worth to something that we value. So if we value our car, we wash it every week, and we get our kids to take off their shoes before they get in. There's no food allowed in the car. We talk about it all the time. We have to share, you know, that it is precious, except that nobody should touch it. This would be worshiping our car. Yeah, this would be obviously. I don't know anybody who does that with their car, but you might, you know, find something else you value that you give worship to without even realizing. But if we value, if we have an encounter with God, we can't help but giving honor and worship to Him, giving worth to Him. So our invitation is to open our hearts and to seek an encounter with Him. And then our invitation is to let ourselves fall into that and start worshiping. And a little bit of that is getting swept up in the moment. I have a feeling that these guys got swept up in the moment and just started singing because everybody else was singing. So you just kind of joined in to the glory moment. But a little bit for us, because we're human and not in the heavenly realms right now, a little bit for us, it's also a decision. We have to decide, I am going to worship. I am going to give worth to God, who deserves all the worship at all times. Especially when we have a moment where we encounter Him in a deep way, where we see Him for who He really is. So what does worship actually look like? And because the way I see it is that what happened in this vision is that the four creatures and the 24 elders, they started this whole thing by falling down and worshiping. And then the others who joined, the angels and then all the creatures of heaven and then all the creatures of the earth, they saw what was happening and they just took an example and joined in with what was already happening. And so they basically copied what these people were doing already. So they were singing, they were falling down. This is a way to worship. A way to worship is to sing and to fall down. But I think we have examples in our world as well of people who worship. People raise their hands or hold them open. Some people fall to their knees. Some people sing in tongues. We get the idea is to get caught up in who we're praising and not so much worry about how we're doing it, but to join in with our whole bodies. This is also the reason, by the way, why we start with an action song at the beginning of the service, because we're getting the barrier down so that everybody is already raising hallelujah, and then when the next song comes, they're just continuing to raise their arms. That is the idea. But we're all a bit self-conscious, and we're all sort of a little bit in our own space, and finally it a bit difficult. But what I'm saying is, if we're taking an example by these guys, then we would be raising our arms and we would be falling down. And I know we're not a Pentecostal church, but we're still invited to worship with our whole bodies. And then when we, thank you. And then when we worship like this, when we truly abandon ourselves and surrender to Him and give worth to Him, worship to Him, then that takes over the rest of our lives too. That's in Romans 12, it's we're invited to live our whole lives as an act of worship. Every decision we make, you know, the work we do as service to God, having our whole lives orientated in worship. And of course, that is more than singing, you know, going around singing everywhere. But that's, you know, how we make decisions and all that. But it starts with the singing. So I am excited about us encountering God, coming with an expectancy and an open heart, telling him, God, I want to meet with you today when I come to church, or on my way to work when I sit in the car. God, Jesus, would you meet with me as I sit in the car? I, at the moment, have this thing where I always pray before I have a meeting with someone, and I say, Jesus, would you meet with me as I have this meeting? And I often find myself asking questions that I didn't come up with. They were clearly from God, and they were really good. This works. It's, if we have an open heart and we say, Jesus, I want to meet with you today as I'm doing this thing, he shows up. If we seek him with all our hearts, he will meet with us. So this is the first thing, is I want to incite us all to encounter him in all we do. And then I encourage us to be obedient to the call to worship him, because he is worthy of all our praise. Let me pray. Lord, you are good, and your love endures forever. We praise you for your light. We praise you for your freedom. We praise you for all the goodness, all the blessings you pour out. We praise you for all the encounters we've already had with you. We praise you for what is to come. We praise you for the whole world that you hold in your hands. We praise you that you are part of everything, and that you want to meet with us in deep ways. Jesus, would you help us to be courageous and to open our hearts to you, to meeting more of you. And I pray that we're able to forget about ourselves a little bit and just open ourselves in worship and in praising you. Come, Holy Spirit, would you overwhelm us that we can't help but praise you. Amen.